Our scripture reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, they were on their way to having a good life, and then God ruined it. They had expectations for how their life would go. God didn't get the memo. You see, Mary had expectations. She was betrothed to Joseph. And this word for us, betrothal, doesn't have the same weight that it did for them. To be betrothed was to be legally married, just without having gone through the marriage ceremony. It was binding. And betrothal came with expectations. At this time, Mary was probably 14 years old, expecting to be married to a good husband with a good job. Joseph was a tradesman, a carpenter. Business was probably pretty good as Herod was building his palace and other projects in and around Jerusalem. So there was good job security. She expected to be a good wife of a good husband with a good job. And also as a betrothed woman, she had expectations of having her moment in the sun as the bride-to-be. Some time ago, I saw this news story on the front page of a leading news outlet. A woman was stating that her wedding was almost ruined. You see, she had tied up her hair with an ink pen, and the pen had burst, and blue ink had leaked all into her very, very blonde hair. And the tagline said, "Bride's wedding almost ruined." And this made national news. Now, ladies, for those of you who are married or have been married, look back to your expectations for your wedding day. I'm sure you had high expectations for how that wedding was to go. Our culture makes a very big deal about weddings. Have any of you seen the show Bridezillas? Or how many of you have little children, little girls, who talk about their wedding day? I have two little girls. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and at least one of them has already started to talk about her wedding day. And I'm saying, let's pump the brakes. But as I think about the elevation of the wedding experience in our culture, I think that the expectations around weddings is a universal human phenomenon. We place a lot of expectations and meaning on major milestone moments of our life. And it was in this moment that God obliterated Mary's expectations. Now, it's not here in our gospel reading from today. It's over in Luke's gospel. But it's recorded that an angel, Gabriel, visited Mary and told her that she would have a child from the Spirit, that he would be the Messiah, and that she was to call his name Jesus. And it's in this moment when Mary's visited by the angel Gabriel that all of her expectations are turned upside down. For Mary to accept this would mean to reject the honor of being the virgin bride. And instead, she would accept the shame from society of being an unfaithful spouse. Not only was her marriage to Joseph put in jeopardy, as we'll see momentarily, but any life of security. Society would have perceived her to be stained, unmarriageable. She risked living a life on the streets as an unwed mother. And in this moment, God ruined her life. But instead, rather than being angry with God, being resentful with God at this moment, she accepted and celebrated God's plan of redemption, and the story continues. So Joseph catches wind of Mary's pregnancy, and he starts to come to grips with how his life is ruined. This time he's probably 18 or so years of age, and 18-year-olds have expectations for how their life will go. He's finally getting married, expecting to have a good wife, raise a family, to live the Israelite dream. But what did he get? He's legally betrothed, and instead of getting a good wife, he discovers that she has a baby. Most of us know where babies come from. But the idea of a virgin birth would have been absolutely unheard of. God has always used the marital union between husband and wife to move his plans forward. Moreover, opening the womb and reversing infertility has been a major way that God shows his power and favor. Just look at the story of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. The marital union between the two of them brings forth the child of promise, Isaac. So there would have been no need in the Israelite mind for a virgin birth because it categorically did not make sense. So of course Joseph thought that Mary was unfaithful, and thus why he's looking to divorce her. But as the story goes, we know Joseph was a good and just man, unwilling to put her to shame, dooming her to a life on the streets. His expectations of life were ruined until God sent him an angel in a dream. This angel confirmed that Mary was indeed faithful, that the child was indeed of the Holy Spirit, and that his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. Both Joseph and Mary had their lives turned upside down. Joseph, in taking Mary's wife, Mary as his wife, accepted the shame of Mary, of what society would have considered to be an unfaithful woman. It was Joseph, Mary, and God against the world. What a special bond between husband and wife, to be teammates in parenting the Messiah. And so, Joseph and Mary were given new expectations for their life as they would watch Jesus grow up to be the Messiah. They would have expected him to rally Israel as the rightful heir of King David's throne. They would have expected Jesus to drive out the Romans, to lead Israel as a military superpower of the world. They would have expected Jesus to usher in a new and unending era of prosperity. They would have expected to spend their retirement in the royal palace, sitting at the feet of Jesus, looking up at him sitting on the throne of David, crowned as king. And then God ruined their lives. Instead of looking up at Jesus on the throne of David, crowned as king, Mary found herself looking up at Jesus dying on the cross, crowned with thorns. God ruined their wedding. He ruined their lives. And when it mattered most, God seemingly abandoned them with what they would have thought of as a failed Messiah. Joseph and Mary suffered an entire life of disruption and broken expectations. But God was not done ruining their lives. There was one more expectation for him to disappoint. And that was the expectation that a dead Jesus would stay dead. 3 days later, Jesus came back to life in the glory of the resurrection, never to die again. He appeared to his disciples and then to the 500, among whom was most certainly his mother, Mary. It was so good for God to ruin their lives, because God's plan of saving the world is so much bigger than any expectations that Joseph and Mary had for their lives. You see, the birth of Jesus may have ruined their wedding, but as Joseph and Mary gave up expectations of their wedding and they surrendered to God's plan, we now have God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. You see, when God created all things and Adam and Eve were dwelling in the garden, they were with God, but God was there with them in spirit. In the old covenant, God's presence as spirit dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple, where only the high priest could enter once a year. Through the incarnation of Jesus, when the second person of the Trinity was born and took on flesh, becoming like us, we have the ability to reach out and touch God. When he returns, you, all of God's people, will be able to stand before him face to face. God may have ruined the lives of Joseph and Mary as they parented Jesus, bearing the stigma of infidelity and the constant reminders of an illegitimate child. But as Joseph and Mary gave up the expectations of their adult life, we have a Savior who can identify with us in every way. He knows what it's like to grow up, to get tired, to get hungry. He can identify with us in every way. God may have ruined their lives as Joseph and Mary watched Jesus die, but as they watched him die, God was at work. You see, Jesus bore the full punishment for sin. All of our wrongdoings were placed upon him, so that those of us who look to Jesus and worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we may have a place in his eternal kingdom. All of our wrongdoings, all of our sins, wiped clean because they were all applied to Jesus on the cross. In exchange, all of Jesus' righteousness, his holiness, his goodness, given to you, so that when God the Father looks upon you, he looks at you with the same delight, the same joy, as if you were his very son, Jesus. And God ruined what they thought would be the end of their lives when, in the most surprising twist of all twists, Jesus comes back to life. The resurrection of Jesus, the defeat of death itself, gives us the hope of eternal embodied life with Jesus and all of his people in the kingdom of God. This is what we look forward to. This is our hope. This is our new expectations as those who are redeemed in Jesus. You see, Joseph and Mary, they thought that the pinnacle of their life would be a comfortable retirement in an earthly kingdom. And God's plan is so much bigger. His plan is that all his people throughout history, living in his presence in the kingdom of God forever. How wonderful it is when God ruins our life. Because it means that God is up to something. If you're walking in faithful obedience, just minding your own business, and then your life takes a turn for the worse, God is up to something. He doesn't just ruin our lives to bother us, even though sometimes it may feel like that. Rather, when he ruins our lives and he upends our expectations, it's because he has something bigger and better planned. Joseph and Mary found themselves at the very center of God's redemptive plan in raising the Messiah. And all of you, if you believe in Jesus and you worship him as Lord, you are integral to God's redemptive plans. When you come into the kingdom, you become agents of God's grace. He advances his kingdom through you. You are beacons of light to the world. Now, you may not be one of Jesus' parents, but you have an integral and essential role as an agent of God's grace in advancing his kingdom. But what do we do when we find ourselves in Mary and Joseph's shoes? When we want to trust God, but life becomes difficult. First of all, remind yourself of the character of God. David sings this in Psalm 145, verse 9. I said, David sings it, I will speak it, and I will bless you by not singing it. He says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. This is the nature of the God we worship. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Jesus, if you believe in him, God does not hate you. He is not punishing you. There is no condemnation for you in Jesus. Paul continues in chapter 8, verse 28 of Romans. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. When you find yourselves in a difficult time, take comfort in knowing that your suffering is not because God is displeased with you, it's because God is pleased with you. You are being used by God for a working together for good. You are so valued and so loved by God that you are being used as an agent of his grace. Secondly, remain in community. Joseph and Mary, they were a team. Throughout their lives, they supported each other. They were not alone. Later in life, they had the support of the 500 brothers and sisters, the early church community. You see, friends, we were designed by God to thrive in community. In creation, when God created Adam, there's a pause in the creation narrative where God looks at Adam alone and says, that is not good. If you find yourself in a difficult time, do not isolate yourself. Spend time with your Christian family and friends. Talk to them. Pray with them. Thirdly, ask God in prayer, what are you teaching me? What is it that you're trying to show me? What is it about you that you want me to know? And what is it about me that you are trying to reveal to myself? These difficult times are moments of testing and strengthening. For Joseph and Mary, it revealed and it strengthened their faith. You see, rather than having a posture of avoiding these difficult times, we should approach them with humility and an open heart to ask, what is God doing? And lastly, be attentive to what it is you are to do. For Joseph and Mary, they were entrusted to raise Jesus to adulthood. For you, be attentive to what God has in store for you. Maybe God has you where you are in that situation because you are going to bring forth something truly wonderful. That God is going to do something marvelous through you. For some of you others, maybe nothing will happen. Maybe you won't be able to notice any real change at all, no fruit. But God has you there to be a steadfast presence of His grace for purposes that will be revealed later. My friends, when it happened, the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, was just a little blip on the radar of history. Babies are born all the time. But the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, second to the death and resurrection of Jesus, was the greatest moment in history because it's when God Himself invaded human history to dwell among us. It changed everything. It ruined all expectations of who God is and how to come into relationship with Him. My friends, how good it is when God ruins our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the goodness and the grace that You have given to us in the person of Jesus. I thank You for ruining our expectations because Your plan is so much bigger. I ask for those of us who are struggling in our lives that You would pour Your grace upon us to teach us and to show us how to be faithful to You. And we praise You for inviting us to be agents of Your grace to advance Your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.